hit the part that we've got to today, chapter 9 and chapter 10. It's a long passage, and I've just picked out one or two themes from it. And one of the themes we read about in that passage is the curtain which was in the temple in Jerusalem. You see, there's a curtain in St. David's at the front there. In the temple in Jerusalem, behind the curtain was a, as it were, a secret room which only one person could go into, and he only went once every year. Now, there is no secret room behind that curtain, behind the cross in St. David's. Indeed, the cross is in front of the curtain, and the communion table is in front of the curtain. In the temple in Jerusalem, in the Old Testament days, the altar of sacrifice, which is what the cross symbolizes for us, was in the secret room behind the curtain, so the ordinary worshippers couldn't see it. Now, if you remember from last time, if I can just recap, this temple in Jerusalem was first of all just a big tent which was carried around in the wilderness until the people got to the land of Israel. And its structure had to be exactly as God commanded. So let me just recap a bit on what I said last time. Inside the Holy of Holies, this secret room, was a box called the Ark of the Covenant. And in that box were 10 commandments. Not only is there a God, but God has told us how we must live with him and with one another. That's what the 10 commandments in the box were. Also, there was a basin, rather like this. None of us have lived up to what we should be in God's sight or our own sight. We need cleansing, and that's what the basin meant. There was an altar, a place of sacrifice. That tells us that the wickedness of the world is so serious that for it to be forgiven, a cost is needed, a price has to be paid. And the symbol of that was the sacrifice made in the temple. And then there was a candlestick, a sign that one day the light and the glory and the love of God is going to be restored fully to this world. Now, after the crucifixion of Jesus, the Roman armies came and they knocked down the temple. And all these things that are described in the Old Testament that I've just been describing to you were destroyed completely. But in the Christian church, we keep things which mean the same thing. We have a Bible brought in by the church officer as a sign that we have God's words and his commandments, that we learn how he wants us to live with one another and with him. We have a baptism bowl as a sign that all of us need cleansing because we've all done wrong. We have a cross as a sign that the price that took away the wickedness of the world is an infinite price, the death of the Son of God for us. But now we come to this other detail which I mentioned at the beginning, which is mentioned in today's reading, the curtain in the temple. The high priest and him alone went once per year behind the curtain into the holy room where the word of God was kept, and only he was allowed to go there. The curtain which the worshippers in the temple looked at reminded them that the true dwelling place of God was out of their reach. They couldn't go behind the curtain. It was a reminder to them that by ourselves we cannot get to the dwelling place of God. We cannot reach heaven by our own efforts. Men and women have tried to reach heaven and bring heaven to earth by their own efforts, but it always fails. At the beginning of this century, it was thought that if we had enough science and enough education, it would solve all our problems and heaven would have come to earth. That didn't work, and so some people thought, well, we'll have to work. It brought hell to earth. And the Nazis thought the same thing. And if we don't have that relationship with God, we'll always have that gap in our lives. And we try and reach out to heaven and we never get there. And so we're always dissatisfied. That's what that curtain symbolized, that we can't reach God in our own efforts. He's behind the curtain. But the high priest was allowed through the curtain only once a year, and he had to take with him the blood of animals. And then he prayed a prayer confessing his sins and the sins of the people. We read about this in verse 6 to 9 of chapter 9 of Hebrews. Well, when all was ready, the priests went in and out. They went in and out of the first room whenever they wanted to, doing their work. But only the high priest went into the inner room. And then only once a year, all alone, and always with blood that he sprinkled on the mercy seat as an offering to God to cover his own mistakes and sins and the mistakes and sins of the people. And the Holy Spirit uses all this to point out to us that under the old system, the common people could not go into the Holy of Holies as long as the outer room and the entire system it represents were still in use. This is an important lesson for us today. For under the old system, gifts and sacrifices were offered, but these failed to cleanse the hearts of the people who brought them. Now, all this system that's described here preceded the coming of Jesus, who was to be our true high priest. Now, what happened when Jesus was to come into the world to be our high priest, to take our sins away? Well, the writer asks us to imagine something in heaven. As it were, putting it in human terms, because that's the only way we can do, a conversation in heaven between the Son of God and the Father. We read about it in chapter 10, verse 5 to 7. That is why Christ said, as he came into the world, O God, the blood of bulls and goats cannot satisfy you. So you have made ready a body for me so that I can lay myself out as a sacrifice upon your altar. You were not satisfied with animal sacrifices. Then I said, see, I have come to do your will, to lay down my life, just as the scriptures said that I would. I'm reading that from the Living Bible. It's as if Jesus is saying to God, I know you were never satisfied with the blood of animals, but you have prepared a body for me to live in. And I'm going to go and live in that body to fulfill what the scriptures have said and lay down my life for the sins of the world. Where is the temple in which the Son of God will do his high priestly work? The temple was his own body. You have made this body of mine for me to lay as a sacrifice upon the altar. And so Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, born of one of us in our human body. That's what Christmas is all about. The human body of Jesus in which he was born is the place where the Son of God dwells among us and makes a sacrifice for our sins. Is that easy for him? No, it requires a definite decision. He says, here am I to do your will, O my God. It has been written about me in the scriptures. It's as if Jesus in heaven is saying to God, all the scriptures of the old that we call today the Old Testament have written about me coming in a body. Now I am ready to come and to be born into the world. And so he came and was born of Mary. A decision in heaven had to be made. And you and I respond to that by making our own decision. We have to say to the Lord, I decide to invite you to come and make your home in my body, in my human life. Today and forever. That's how we respond to Christ. Just as the temple had in it the ark or the box with the Ten Commandments, so Jesus came with his commandments. His commandments didn't cancel the Ten Commandments, but they filled them out, just like a rosebud becomes a rose. So the commandments of Jesus changed the Ten Commandments into what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Let's hear some of his commandments that he came with. He said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves and break in and steal. Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. Look at the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Enter in the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that's leading to destruction, and many are going through it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Those were the commandments that Jesus brought to fill out the commandments which were written in the Ark of the Covenant, the box in the temple. Just as in the old temple there was a bowl for cleansing, so Jesus, as I said earlier, went into the River Jordan and was baptized by John. Just as the high priest confessed the sins of the people, so Jesus, when he died on the cross, prayed for our forgiveness. He prayed, "Father, forgive them." And that was a prayer for everyone, for you and for me. Just as the earthly temple was only a temporary building, destroyed and knocked down by the Romans, so our human bodies are mortal. They're only temporary. One day they will die. And Jesus, when he was born from Mary, took a temporary body. When it was only 33 years old, it died as a result of crucifixion. Just as the temple was only in one place, in Jerusalem, so Jesus' ministry was confined just to the land of Israel. So Jesus made his sacrifice, and as he was dying, we read something happened. He died just outside the city of Jerusalem, but inside the city of Jerusalem, in the temple, something happened. The curtain was torn in two from top to bottom as Jesus died. And that means that you and I can reach heaven itself by the grace of God. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Through him, we get right into the presence of God. Christ then was raised from the dead, no longer a mortal body, but one renewed by the eternal Spirit, never to die again. No longer is Jesus confined to the land of Israel, but through the Holy Spirit, you and I are called to bring his presence to the world around us. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he went through that curtain which separates heaven from earth. He didn't go into the skies like a spaceship, but he tore open the skies and went into heaven itself. And that's a foretaste of that great tearing open of the skies which will happen in the last day when Christ shall come again. We won't just get a glimpse into heaven, but all eyes will see him. He's not going to be coming from a distance, for he's near to us now. But as it were, we don't see him, But one day we will see him with our eyes when God undraws the veil from our eyes, just as the curtain was torn, and we see the Lord. But he's near us now. We should call upon him while he is near. And this is what this chapter says in verse 27 and 28. Just as it is destined that men die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ died once as an offering for the sins of many people, and he will come again, not to deal with our sins this time, but he will bring salvation to all who are eagerly and patiently waiting for him. If you have made the decision to invite the Lord into your life, into your human body, to make his home and his dwelling place with you, then you will be a person who will be eagerly waiting for him, waiting for that day to come at the end of the age. And now I want us all to pray. Let us pray. And I'm just going to pray, and I want you to pray this prayer in your own hearts as I pray now. O Lord, I confess that my sins have separated me from you. I pray that Jesus, who loves me and gave his life for me, may come and cleanse me from all my past and make his home in my human life today and forever. Amen.